Hello, thank you for tuning in to the Debunker Boys show. Once again, my name is Guzzo. My formal name is Ryan Gazzardo. If you want to look me up on Facebook, look it up. Ryan Gazzardo, that is spelled G-U-Z-Z-A-R-D-O. If you cannot spell that, well, then you're probably retarded. Once again, alongside of me is Bunker Bob. What's up, Bunker Bob?
Formal name is Robert Cornell. You can find me on Facebook, obviously. Robert Cornell with three L's because the other asshole took the first one. and we also have... Go ahead, Randy.
My name is Randy Keeler. And my name is Randy Keeler.
He is a new bunker dude. Bunker. We should have said bunker dudes. But it's
bunker, bunker dudes. Fuck but it, right? Hey, so get this. Randy is a paranormal specialist. Great friend to both me and Robert. And we decided after a long and very painful and gruesome initiation, added him to the Debunker Boys team. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. What is there to tell about myself? I've been studying metaphysics and the paranormal since, well, for about 25 years.
Huh?
Yeah.
That is all.
That's about
I am
it.
Done I mean, now.
I've done... you know, the actual paranormal investigations and stuff like that. It's about 5 or 6 years. I got started on that due to the coercion of a friend of mine. But yeah, I've had an interest in studied this kind of stuff for a long time.
That's awesome. What do you do as a profession?
As a profession?
Yeah.
right now I'm not doing anything as a profession, really. I'm an independent game developer. But, you know.
You kind of dabble in this, dabble in that, right?
It's kind of like I'm a starving artist, I guess.
Really?
Ooh, I'll feed you.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
No, not really. I won't feed you like that. No. I will not do this. All right. This show is about the word I hate with every fiber of my being. Orb.
Oops. Every time I hear the word orb, I'm going to hit a fart noise.
Orb. You didn't hear it, dude.
It was right there.
Oh, it was a little... It wasn't a man fought. Definitely wasn't a man fought. All right. So, orbs. Basically, people believe that orbs, orbisons, whatever you want to call them, are the spirits of a deceased individual. I want to hear Mr. Keeler's idealisms about the orbs.
I told you every time I hate orbs that much.
Wow. All right. My thoughts on orbs.
Okay, I quit. I'm done with the soundboard.
You know, orbs. Orbs are one of those things. Like, they're just. You know, I think in the last five or six years, the orbs are probably the single most hotly debated topic where, like, paranormal investigating is concerned.
Well, it doesn't seem debated anymore. It seems like every team is taking pictures in the air trying to capture these supposed spirit orbs. So it's not debated. It seems like every team seems to believe in these orbs.
Well, that's what we're here for. We're going to tell them how it is, brother.
I don't know. I think it really depends on, who you're talking to.
True.
By and large, I think a lot of them, or at least a huge percentage of the teams, you know, do believe in, like, the whole spirit orb phenomena. And which is actually kind of interesting because spirit orbs were not even, nobody ever even paid attention to them prior to, like, you know, the reality TV series and stuff, you know, like Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures and stuff. Nobody gave a shit about them.
I'm retarded.
You know, they were treated as anomalies in a photo and, you know, nothing at all paranormal.
They're balls of dust.
Yeah, I mean, nobody gave a crap about them. And it was because, you know, at that time, people were using regular film cameras to capture their photos with, and they'd take them off to the, you know, photo developer and get them developed, and they almost never showed up. And when they did, they were like, oh, well, that's just, you know, who the fuck put something in my photo?
Yeah, they, like, actually thought about their evidence, is what you're saying, basically?
Well, they didn't consider it evidence of anything. And then, you know, like later on, the, you know, digital cameras became available and, you know, more widely available, and affordable and stuff. And people started using them in investigations, and, all of a sudden, people are getting these spirit orbs, you know, these supposed spirit orbs all over the place. And they're like, oh my God. And then you had, like, I don't know really which television show was really responsible for making a big deal out of them, but at some point one of them did. And ever since then, everybody's like, oh my God.
We'll have to find out who, definitely. And
I don't know. It might have been Ghost Hunters, but may not have been. It may have been one of the others.
I saw an orb. Oh my God. Go ahead. Sorry, Ryan.
Well, you got what is that? Ghost Adventures. You know, a lot of them. You know, they say that they debunked it not being dust or a bug, the way it shoots into one of the investigators' heads and stuff like that. You know, I don't knock any of the
sorry.
Sorry,
I got a bit of a... was an orb in my head. Go ahead.
I don't knock
being by an orb.
I don't really knock any of the teams that are on these shows, because these teams started out like just like us, I guess. You know, they started out looking for answers, and suddenly they were approached by a network producer saying, "Hey guys, you know, this might actually make a nice TV show." And so, I mean...
Is my mom over there with you?
She is. She's
actually listening to the show. So, Mom, I was just fucking with you.
His mom's got a pearl necklace. Anyways.
Oh, my God. Wow.
He knows my mom, too, bro. And my mom whoops your ass.
Hi, Mom. Please be gentle. Use boxing gloves.
Oh, anyway. She'll be gentle. She'll use you up, bro.
Ride you hard and put you up wet.
Anyway, back to orbs.
Anyways,
beamed in the head. Yeah.
Anyways, so that Ghost Adventure show. Anyways, they always attribute these spirit orbs to causing the investigator to suddenly feel. They feel like lethargic or get angry. They seem to attribute this light anomaly, you know, shooting into the investigator to causing some sort of emotional change. And I think that attributes to they got to keep the show interesting. A lot of people sit there and say that, oh, Ghost Hunters is fake now, you know, Ghost Adventures is fake now. Well, guess what it's doing? It's causing you to watch the show. And in that essence, it's doing its job. It's kind of like Criss Angel. Everybody's like, oh, Criss Angel's tricks are fake, you know. Well, duh, nobody actually claims to be able to fly 30 feet in the air between buildings or anything like that. Obviously, it's an illusion. But guess what it's doing? It's entertainment. It's bringing a crowd in. It's making people watch. He's not trying to start a church.
Yeah, it's a generation. It's a generation of wow, my brain just went boop, 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 boop. No.
Are you drinking again, Bob?
Bringing more money to the
More assets. Yeah, it's all about ratings. Nobody, you know, on an average investigation, paranormal investigation, you go, you know, no matter where it is, usually, or at least, you know, in my experience, whether they're commercial or residential investigations and stuff, you know, 90% of the time you sit around watching paint peel, and that's not good for ratings. No. You know, so
who wants to watch the documentary about
nobody's going to tune in for this crap. We need to get something exciting going on here.
At least kiss the neighbor or something. Shit.
So obviously Zach Bagans taking off his shirt on of the episodes, you know, obviously that's for ratings. I mean, we've already come across a couple of females that seem to worship Zach Bagans and everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're the precious to the Schmeagle. He is, man. So it's like, son of a bitch. Okay, this is what I want to talk about now. So we're talking about orbs. Now, you saw the microscopic vapor that I posted, the pictures, and how they look a lot like orbs. Can you, Randy, explain how that the two work together? Like basically, what the photo sensor does?
Okay, yeah. Pretty much what it is it like? Let me start by saying this. I am not a disbeliever at all. You know, I'm a skeptic. What it means to be a skeptic is that I am not a non-believer. It just means that I don't, you know, buy everything that comes across, you know, my desktop or whatever.
You're not a schmuck.
Right. You know, I don't personally believe that about, you know, 99.999% of the supposed spirit or photographs that you see out there, anything, you know, even remotely paranormal. And it's really got to do a lot with what I was saying before about how you know, the difference between like digital photography and regular film photography. You know, and I, so essentially pretty much everything that you're getting most of the time, they're just false positives. And there are a lot of ways to eliminate false positives, which I'll go into, like, you know, a little bit later or whatever. But pretty much what it boils down to is that, you know, it has to do with the way that the little point-and-shoot cameras, the digital point-and-shoot cameras that so many people use are set up and stuff, you know, in order to make them smaller, you know, more compact, more affordable and stuff. They've got to go with smaller and cheaper parts. And smaller, especially when it comes to like digital equipment, is not necessarily better. So
yeah, like my DSLR, whatever, single lens, it doesn't catch orbs because I paid $600 for it.
Right, and that's actually one of the ways that you can eliminate false positives, is because DSLR cameras are not, this is like professional grade equipment. It has a large CCD in it. And the way that it's manufactured, part of the process of creating an orb photo has to do with a flash, which is another way to eliminate false positives. Don't use the fucking flash. You'd be surprised at how many less orb photos you get if you just, you know, turn the lights on and turn your flash off.
Yeah, LEDs cause a lot of orbs to have noticed LED light, that particular light.
Right. Well, yeah. You know, what happens is that the camera flash goes off, and the camera flash reflects off of dust particles or moisture particles or bugs or, you know, other type of airborne contaminants. And that reflection comes back into the lens, hits the sensor that processes the image. Well, camera software doesn't always know what to do with what it's seeing. It, you know, it sees this and goes, well, what the heck is that? It doesn't look like anything, you know, I can't really interpret that. So it creates an artifact.
Yeah, I've literally, with my D3000, yeah, I've never Not one time have I picked up an orb with it. Not one freaking time on any investigation I've done with it.
Yeah, this is a $600 camera, and you'd think that if, you know, well, that just gets right back to the whole discussion about, like,
well, I always wondered about the different equipment that we use. You know, if these paranormal investigators are on these investigations with these supposed expensive cameras that they have, then why in documentaries and you know, behind the scenes footage in movies and stuff, are orbs not flying around these actors?
Right. Yeah, that's another very good point.
Those mini cams, which are $9,000 still, some of those, because they're using infrared spectrum light, you can see orbs. But that's because of the spectrum light they're using. But that's a $9,000 camera. Now, if they were to use the regular light with it, you wouldn't see it.
Well, yeah, it's like, that gets into a whole nother, well, it's not exactly a whole nother animal, but it is a whole nother animal. And, you know, I don't know how many times, like, you can set up a stationary IR camera system, you know, with the emitters and everything, and, you know, turn all the lights off in the room, and suddenly you've got friggin' dust orbs all over the friggin' place.
Yeah.
So, if I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place!
So a lot of people are going to come at us, and I know we're going to get a lot of hate mail and people saying that we are retarded, but what about the spirit orbs that seem to have intelligent pattern?
Nah, that's just I think that's people just reading too much into what they're seeing.
If it was possible, this would be the only way it would be possible, is if a spirit was manipulating a microscopic piece of dust, which me personally, if I was going to try to get something across to somebody, I would not be touching dust.
Yeah, I don't think that it would occur to me to, like, manipulate dust.
Like, you want to see my dust balls? Woo!
Yay! It's kind of like... All right, that didn't sound too well, but Chris Farley has something to say.
I'm retarded.
but you know, yeah, that goes back to, what do spirits do in the afterlife? A lot of people say, "Oh, my mother just passed away, and I know she's watching," or "My father just passed away, and I know he's watching over me, and he follows me around." Well, if you know. You know, I would think, okay, if I'm an intelligent entity who now is completely limitless, do you think I would spend my time following around the people that I saw all my life?
Titties and ass, brother.
Exactly.
I'd be in the girls' locker room.
Exactly. Why aren't girls' locker... Well... Women's locker rooms. We gotta make sure that people aren't like, these guys are pedophiles. But
college girls' locker rooms. Okay?
Why are college girls' locker rooms haunted?
Yeah, that's kind of a good question. I don't know. Maybe our priorities shift after we've, you know, like,
yeah, we don't know, we have the privates ghost or something. Yeah.
Who's gonna take over the privates world when I die?
Lick my beak. No.
So this I don't know. I mean, yeah, that's a good question. But then, I think you start to get into some philosophical territory there.
Well, we're paranormal philosophers, so lay it on.
Well, I mean, it's like there's a whole lot of questions about, like, okay, you know. It sort of gets into the whole thing where, you know, getting back to orbs and stuff. There was someone asked me one time about the colors of orbs. What do they mean? And he said that he saw something on a website. Oh, you know, red orbs mean this. The spirit is this, and a pink orb means it's in love with you. And you know, green one means it's envious, and you know, so what? How do you know this? Who wrote that? I mean, did an orb tell them?
Yeah, it's kind of like these people that say, oh, the ghost, the reason you're not getting paranormal evidence is because the ghost doesn't like you. How do you know? You know, are you sitting down having coffee with the ghosts in the morning, being like, "All right, so lay the scoop. What's the talk about for today? Who do we not like? Who's the gossip about?"
Right. Yeah. They're all sitting around having coffee and, you know, exchanging gossip.
some people make ghosts out to be like some high school cheerleader girls. You know, high school cheerleader. Are you gonna keep interrupting me?
Who?
I don't know. Whoever's playing the soundboard.
It was a ghost.
It was one of those dead fuckers.
Hey, yeah, it was an orb. It was an orange orb.
So this show is called Dust Have Feelings Too.
So apparently
an orb, by a lot of paranormal investigators' definitions, is a spirit that is trying to communicate with you.
I've heard that definition of it, but I've also heard, you know, it's like it's like a residual thing from attempted, you know, activity, or, you know, it's like, you know, like a fallout.
Manipulating physics.
Yeah, you know, so it's not the actual spirit itself, but it's a byproduct of their attempts at manifestation or whatever.
Oh, so that fake slimy shit, whatever it's called, ectoplasm. Which doesn't exist.
Yeah. It seems like orbs evolved from ectoplasm. You know, all these supposed pictures back in the early 1900s of this mist, or this, like, I don't even, smoke coming from people's mouths, and that was, and the term was coined ectoplasm.
Right.
Yeah, I've actually got a recipe on how to make that. Serious 1920s recipe on how to make ectoplasm.
Really?
And I've also got the books on how to fake the levitation of the tables and how to, I mean, it was all debunked. Every bit of it was debunked.
Well, it was debunked by the great magician Houdini, Harry Houdini.
Well, it was before that, actually. It's on our website.
Yeah. Well, Harry Houdini, like, after his, someone passed away, a medium came to him and said, well, we will do a seance and contact this person. And Harry Houdini sat in there and goes, really, this is stupid. I'm going to set out to debunk this. And
he swore if he died, he would contact us, and I'm yet to have any kind of contact.
Well, he apparently, there's this documented case where his wife actually was hearing knocking on the headboard of her bed, and she was hearing this knocking, and she couldn't figure out where it was coming from, and she apparently decoded it as Morse code.
I'll get the, okay.
So we need to look into that a little bit more, on who actually documented that. But
yeah, we'll check that out.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it was a publicity stunt.
Okay, so the second half of the show is not going to be about orbs, right? We're going to talk about something different, but it's going to be a surprise.
Yeah.
So,
what are we going to talk about?
Well, no, it'll be a surprise. Well, I'll wait till we go to break. I mean, we'll all three talk about it.
Oh, most definitely. So it's going
to
be exciting.
Is there anything anybody wants to get off their chest about any videos you've seen lately, or any, like, let's talk about that hotel video.
Oh,
I think Randy looked through it pretty well. I looked through it. It looked like it was CG'd to me.
Yeah, it kind of looked like that to me, too.
It was the men in black. They didn't want to know who dragged his ass down the hallway. Yeah, well, that's right. Stop dragging him down the hallway.
Well, think about this. If a hotel is going to catch something like that, and it was legit, and they you know, because that was pretty terrifying. And would they want their guests experiencing something like that? They'd probably keep something like that quiet.
Yeah, but someone released all the footage exactly. of all the DVR systems.
I guarantee bullshit. It was somebody that worked inside the hotel. Because to get that, you have to actually plug into the secure system. You have to download it, and then you have to upload it, because they posted where the hotel was and everything. It was a publicity stunt of the hotel to get more people to come. I mean, think about it. You know, you get some shit like that. Every ghost hunter in the area is going to try to... what is that? But...
Ghost.
But every ghost hunter
you,
in the
area... That's actually a really, really unfortunate side effect of the whole ghost hunting kind of fad and stuff. You know, it's there's a kind of a dividing line anymore between like paranormal investigating and ghost hunting.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, and people make things up. I mean.
Well, yeah, you know. I was actually talking to somebody a while back from, I won't mention any names or anything like that. But you know, it was a founder or co-founder of another team, and they were talking about the industry. So when the hell did this become an industry? You know, an industry, really? Well, we go to these places and we investigate, and when we determine that there is, in fact, you know, some kind of paranormal activity going on there, we talk to them about it and get them to charge people to come and investigate. And we promote it and we get a kickback for it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Now it's become an industry.
Yeah, that's bullshit. Now, I can understand some places that are in need of money, need of renovations, probably
restoration. Yeah,
restorations, and don't get a lot of tourism through their place. I could understand them taking a donation. Like a couple of places I've been to, we've given a couple $100 donation to the place. And but they don't expect any money. But then you get these places that charge $1,000 to $1,500 for 6 hours in the place, and the whole time you're in there, it's a toured event.
Right.
You know, that's getting a little ridiculous. That's making somebody's pocket heavy.
Well, yeah, and like you said, with a hotel, they wouldn't even necessarily have to promote like ghost hunting tours or whatever. They wouldn't have to take that route. All they'd have to do is get it out that, you know, oh, the hotel is haunted, and suddenly you got people booking rooms.
Yeah.
You know, in the off season or whatever. So.
Oh, most definitely. Well, we're down to a minute, so I'm going to go ahead and cut to break. And we will be back in just a few minutes with Randy Keeler, Bunker Bob, and myself. And we will get to talking about some other cool shit. So stay tuned, folks.